Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. Turn your radios up. Spread the word, spread the message. You already know how we come in each and every Friday live, 98.5 WJYN, and bring you the Friday show. I'm excited to be on your midday dials. You already know everything we do is a FUBU Fest. It's for you and about you. So make sure you tap in. Revive is alive, revive is alive, revive is alive.com. Click that play button so you can hear us live right now. Or you can definitely make sure you download the app right now in your radio store. I'm sorry, in your Google Play stores or your Apple stores today, so you can hear us live at Revive Radio. I appreciate everybody tuning in, everybody showing love. I got the one and only. I'm excited. We back. We got some good news. We ain't necessarily get the news from our city, but we got some good news. And at the end of the day, it is what it is. And we received the news that we were all looking for. I got the executive director of Asian American United on the line with us, Vivian Chang. Good afternoon, Vivian. How you feeling? Welcome to 98.5.
Thank you. And thank you for having me back. No, I just appreciate it because what a whirlwind, feeling disbelief, feeling relief, but also feeling so, so grateful to everyone who just made this happen. Stop.
Yes. And I appreciate you showing love, coming back on to 98.5 to give us an update on what's going on. And like I said, Vivian, we didn't necessarily get the what we wanted as far as the answers from the city of Philadelphia, but we end up getting the answers that we were looking for anyway. So I just want to start there, right off the bat. How do you feel about the fact that the city of Philadelphia actually voted no to what the community wanted, but voted yes to the dollars, to the money, pretty much?
Yeah, and that's a great way to put it. I mean, they voted against the people and voted for the billionaires. I think, folks might have, seen just there's a lot of spinning that's happening, right? I think definitely the mayor, council were caught off guard. And, it's, for us, we're like, look, we got at least Chinatown protected for now, right? We don't want to assume that nothing's going to happen on Market Street, right? And that there's not. There's definitely still plans that, the 76 developers have announced, but like at least for now, this like giant threat to Chinatown is out of the equation. But I think it says a lot. It shows a lot to people about who runs the city and how our elected officials are not exercising true leadership and instead listening to, like I was like working against the people instead of with them.
Yeah, and I definitely agree with you. As far as there are still plans being discussed and ideas p still being implemented as far as what they want to do with that, because we all know that the original plan as far as putting the new mall down there, Gallery Place, or the Fashion District as they call it now, was not as successful as they thought it would be. So they're looking for ways to actually create revenue around that particular area when it comes along the Market Street corridor. So just to overall get before we get into the news at hand as far as who as far as the businesses as far as the, I'm sorry, as far as the 76ers businessmen coming in and actually stepping in to take place of the arena staying in South Philly, I wanted to just ask you, what are the people in Chinatown talking about? What are the residents feeling? Is it a sign of relief? Or like you said, people are still on edge because they don't know what's coming next.
Yeah, I think, overwhelming relief for sure, because at least it literally felt like a sword was dangling over our heads for 2.5 years. So I think people feel like, wow, at least we can breathe a little bit. I was like, I know, I literally like felt a huge thing come off my chest. But also I think just like huge gratitude and like I mean, I will say there's a lot of folks in Chinatown who like, if you immigrate to this country, you might come to Chinatown first. And that means like this is a place where you're learning about the US, right? And learning about like how do I fit into this new city and this like society. And a lot of what they experience is hostility. There's a lot too much, there's like violence against folks, there's like language discrimination. And so for a lot of them, they're like, well, I'm not used to people caring about us. And yet what this fight showed and this victory showed is like a lot of folks do. Right. And that there's solidarity that we have across so many different communities. And I think, especially for a lot of elders in Chinatown, that's not something that they've been used to. That's not something that they ex ever expected. I think a lot of them just thought, like, Chinatown gets stepped on every, 5, 10 years. We're just going to have to do it again and, be a punching bag. And that's how a lot of our elected officials were treating us. But in contrast to what that looked like, the people like so came together and it was so beautiful. So I think definitely there's some amazing, I think, growth coming out of this. You know, I just always like want to give shout outs to folks like Black Philly for Chinatown, to like No Arena Gayborhood. You know, those are folks who are like, hey, our communities have been destroyed in so many ways, and we're not going to let this continue.
And then how do you actually go back and, as far as you being a part of, this organization who was on the front line of this fight against the arena, how do you go back to now discuss different solutions and get to some objectives with your council people who are actually serving your district?
Yeah, and I think hopefully we've made this clear, is like it's not about no development or no to everything, but we've always said it's about the community having a voice and a choice, you know, in what's being done to it. So, you know, I think, for example, Councilman Scola, who represents Chinatown in particular, like he said that he wanted to include the community. His actions did not show that, but can there be another chance with what's going to happen now? So I think we definitely are going to be knocking at his door, going to be showing up again in city council. And I think too, like there's so many different struggles that have been, you know, with us since the beginning, right? There's still like the UC townhomes, right? Folks' homes were destroyed. Philly Thrive, like now there's a CBA on the table for them and the refinery, and it's not done with the community. It's the same stuff that just happened to us. So, you know, we've already been like linking hands in the struggle, and we're thinking about like, okay, how do we take all these people who've been activated, and hopefully the lessons that council is learning from, you know, being duped by the billionaires, and turn that into something good, something better for the city, instead of just repeating the same thing over and over in different parts.
And then, as far as just the Chinatown community and total, do you all feel some type of way, or I know you can't answer for everyone, but as far as just the conversations you've been around, does the community feel some type of way towards the businessmen that stirred up all of this chaos, all of this confusion, just mentally disarraying a bunch of folks, who's thinking that their life is about to be, displaced, and then you go and do something on the back end, that had nothing to do again with community. Do you all blame them? Do you have, fault? Do you feel like there's something that should be said on you all's behalf from the city to put, some type of pressure on them, or how do you deal with that if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I mean, from the beginning, we've said these three multi-billionaires, David Adelman, Josh Harris, David Blitzer, like they have ungodly amounts of money. They gather a lot of it unethically, right? David Adelman pushed out Black communities, gentrified West Philly in DC. Like he is just here for himself. He's here for nobody else. David Blitzer has been part of the global housing crisis. You know, like we've said time and time again, these people do not have the best interests of Philadelphia in mind. They don't have the best interests of people in mind. It's all about profits. So yeah, we like there's a lot of blame. I think there's just a lot of, you know, trying to hold people accountable, because you know, when the city is putting their interests over people who actually live here, people who work here, who pray here, like that's just a recipe for disaster. So I think there's a lot where, you know, how do we chart a better course for Philadelphia going forward? How do we just say, no, we're not gonna throw people under the bus, we're not gonna destroy even more communities just for the sake of, you know, folks making more profit?
Did you all receive, as far as the community, did you all receive an apology at all, like a formal apology, something that felt any kind of heartfelt at all?
No. I was like, ever since, you know, what was that? Two years ago, yeah, 2.5 years ago, when you know, I think some of the developers came to Chinatown and then ran away from our community meeting. Like, that's it. That's what it's looked like ever since then.
And if you don't mind me just asking, Vivian, because you do a lot of work as far as community activism and community engagement, personally, how do you feel about the fact that no one has reached out to the community as far as Chinatown to just say I'm sorry or just apologize for all the confusion, and now it ends up in this type of, deal, back end
Yeah.
deal?
It doesn't feel great. I think it feels like a continuation of what we just saw, unfortunately. So instead of being like, you know what, this was wrong, this was a mistake, let's do something different, it's kind of the same. And I think the news that, you know, the 76 Place developers were planning this even before city council voted, like, So they were literally just letting council folks just have to waste all their time and like the city not being able to focus on any other issue. It's like they were so happy to create so much chaos in our city for nothing.
Yeah, you definitely said it right. And for those who are just tuning in, you're listening to Vivian Chang, who's the executive director at Asian American United here in the city of Philadelphia. And we're talking about the 76er Place Arena, the switch up, the shift, this change that just abruptly happened. And a lot of people are excited about it, honestly. But at the same time, it's just, still a little bit of confusion that we want to clear up. And that's why we made sure that we brought Vivian on to give us a piece of, what Chinatown is feeling and how they're community is actually healing from this situation, if you think about it. And Vivian, I want to ask you too, because during this fight, specifically in City Hall at City Council meetings back in December, some people were arrested, fighting for their right to protest and then also just to actively use their voice in City Hall. So talk to me a little bit about what happened to those folks, and like how did they bounce back from it as far as did they actually get arrested? Did this go on their record? Like what actually took place?
And I'm glad and just appreciative that like the when if folks protest or when folks are arrested, like that goes through the district attorney's office. District attorney Larry Krasner, his office was like, these are not folks who need to be jailed for this, right? So I think just like us recognizing like restorative justice or just not putting people in jail for things that they really shouldn't be, I think there's anyway, I was like my side thing about like incarceration in this country is just like it is an illness that's really corrupting us. But yeah, so the folks who got arrested at City Hall in December, they received, I think, civil disobedience charges. So they're okay. I mean, citations and they have to pay fines, but for the most part, pretty good. I think there was definitely folks though who got injured. Like folks were dragged out by their necks by some of the police. It was just really disgusting how they were treated.
And how do you all plan to tell this story? We live in an age where storytelling is necessary. We live in an age where majority of what took place in city council, we were able to see it through the lens of like social media and different outlets like that. So how do you all plan on telling the story for people who are also in different cities who might be dealing with different issues as far as displacement or just removing a whole community at once?
Yeah, we definitely had folks reach out already and just tell us, hey, they're gonna build a stadium in my neighborhood, and like this is the same thing. So unfortunately, like yeah, we've been saying like this is something that's happening to communities all over the country, and it's always communities of color, it's always working class communities being targeted, and yet we fall in the same trap here. But yeah, I think that's something that we're definitely really, just like ready to do and really like anticipating is like, how do we share these lessons? How do we go support that fight? Because like, yeah, there's, whether that's writing something or, I mean, for me a lot, I love just like, calling folks in other cities and just talking them through. Here's what we did. Here's what it looks like. What is your challenge? What does that look like? Because every situation is different, but everything that we did, hopefully folks can learn from.
And one thing that I'm still noticing, even though the city received this outcome as far as the stadium staying in South Philly, what's still happening in Chinatown is gentrification, right? Gentrification is still happening. Businesses are still being pushed out because of hiked up rent prices. People are still being displaced because of hiked up rent prices as far as affordable living. So I just want to know the stance on that now, right? We fought the stadium. That's out of there. But to just also just keep the culture and heritage of what Chinatown has, how can we make sure that, the businesses that have been long term and the residents that have been long term are able to stay around too? Because you see things closing, you see for sale signs popping up every day. And at one point we thought that was because the arena was coming and it's no longer coming at this current time. But, where's the stance there?
Yeah, and a lot of the same forces that allowed this arena to dominate the city for 2 years is the same that's like causing this. So, our stance is really, reverse that. Whether it's like, hey, like rent control in the city, whether it's just like making sure that there are programs to help businesses and families stay in place. I think there were a lot of issues that were brought up during this whole struggle, and a lot of people said like everything Chinatown's going through, it's happening here too, right? West Philly, North Philly, Northeast, South Philly. Like, it's literally, unfortunately, every single place in the city you go to, there's a neighborhood that's like this. And so, right, well, we want to make sure folks know it's not just about like what's going to happen in Chinatown going forward. It's about like people in like the townhomes is a perfect example. People lived there for so many decades, and they were promised a home, a permanent home, and then it was taken away from them. So then, okay, what are we going to do next time? We're going to make sure this is permanent housing. We're going to make sure that like, landlords aren't able to just like raise rents and collude with each other and just, say, oh, well, if they're charging that much, I'm charging this much. We're all raising our rents. So yeah, I think a lot of the next steps is just really stopping all of that.
And just the fight against gentrification is happening, like you said, everywhere in the city, and particularly throughout this fight. When it came down to different sections of the city, you heard some feedback saying, well, you didn't hear Chinatown speaking up when it was happening in North Philly or when it was happening in West Philly. How can we break this divide as far as trying to separate what it means to be a part of, Philadelphia as a whole versus just I'm North Philly, I'm Chinatown, I'm South Philly. I'm just in your perspective and your opinion. I know you don't have, everyone's answer. I just want to hear what you got to say, Vivian.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't want to speak for anybody and say all the answers. But I do think that this struggle was a big step in the right direction. There are a lot of folks who just came together and got to develop closer relationships that we never would have otherwise. And I know also, I think it exposed a lot of ways that, folks in power want to divide us. Like, it was wild, it's like folks in Black Philly for Chinatown, they explicitly created that group because they were like, look, not in our name. We're not going to allow, people in power to just say, oh yeah, we're going to destroy one neighborhood on behalf of another. Because that has happened too many times already. So I think there's just, yeah, a lot of the work is like, we have to meet each other and not let media narratives dictate what we think about each other. And I'll say definitely like in Chinatown, it's just like something we're thinking about already, especially as Asian American Youth United, is the base building work, the political education, the ways to show people like there is a history of communities coming together. There's a history of solidarity, right? Like, because that's not what's taught in the US education system. That is not the message people receive here. They receive like individual, everybody on their bootstraps, and you don't rely on anybody. But the actual history is like we've had to fight so many times with each other, like together, collectively, and like we can't do this alone. So I think there's a lot where we're going into the community and just having these conversations and being like, look at everybody who showed up for us in this fight. Now imagine the fights that they're going through. We got to show up for that too. We got to be louder, stronger, even more public about it, because unfortunately, there's plenty of people in power who want to just pretend like the city we'll never be able to come together. I think there's a lot of interests that are served by that status quo. And I think what this fight showed for us is like people want to come together. They want to be like, yeah, I'm like we're all here as one city together fighting this, instead of like, the developers who try to be like, no one else should care about this. No, this is not anyone's fight. This is not even Chinatown's fight,
And that makes me want to ask, because you mentioned, a language barrier earlier in our conversation, and that makes me want to ask that because, when it comes down to activism, you really don't want to keep reinventing the wheel. You want to do what works. You want to take, heed of what came before you and be able to, crack the code that way from what was already established or put in place. So breaking that language barrier between, Black and brown folks being able to come together, because we are all dealing with the same things as far as affordable housing, affordable health care, public safety, public safety, public health, all these different things. So just your opinion also, Vivian, like how can we break those language barriers to be able to come a little bit closer in those fights?
Yeah, great question. And it's a literal language barrier sometimes for Chinatown because folks don't often speak English well. So, I think sometimes it's like, oh, well, we're all picking up the same vocab together. But for a lot of them, they're just like, I can't even read this sign, right? So,
And
yeah.
it goes a little deeper than that. They may not speak English, but some may speak Japanese, some may speak Mandarin, some may speak Vietnamese, different languages than that as well. So, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And there's a ton of that. So yeah, I think a lot of it is just like, I was like, I'm always an organizer brain. So I'm like, train up the leaders in each community, right? Like, How do we, especially at AAU, we always think about youth leadership. So how are we equipping young people, like folks who are new to this, and empowering them and saying, like, you too can like bring people along? Because I think a lot of times they feel like, oh, I'm not ready, you know, or someone else is the leader. But like, we can only do this if we're all leading together. So a lot of it is like getting people to be invested in the same way. And then also, I think giving folks the hands-on practice. Like a lot of our Chinatown elders, they're super, super nervous and still are. They're still really scared because, like, look, if you stick your neck out and the US government wants to get you, it's pretty scary. But I'm hopeful that, like, this fight and this victory shows them, like, hey, you know what? Like, I testified and that was okay. Or I went to that rally and we did it, you know? So, like, how do we give people accessible experiences so that they feel more and more comfortable to come out more? Because too often, like, a lot of them are taught to just keep your head down. You know, I think to stay safe as an immigrant in this country and not be deported, you literally are like trying to avoid anybody at all times, like the government, institutions, police. Like, they're literally like, my best thing is just to never show up in public. But then that means they're not showing up for other people's fights. So it's like, how do we draw that line?
Great point. Thank you for your transparent answer. And again, we live 98.5 WJYM and the Friday show each and every Friday starting at 3 p.m. It's your girl POC. We're here with the executive director of AAU, Vivian Chang. We're talking about the 76ers arena, but then also just giving some conversation about, how can we break barriers, how can we break generational gaps when it comes down to black and brown fights, because we're all at the end of the day fighting the same fight. And Vivian, I want to kind of get back into this press conference that happened this week to address the situation. And in that press conference, our mayor pretty much stood on her ground. She didn't really answer too many questions. She didn't really answer many questions, but she definitely stood on her ground as far as the decision to back the 76ers arena, and to know that she has 3 years left to make decisions for the to make decisions for the city. And we know that money and profit is something that is in the forefront of making sure that this city is equitable, in her opinion. What's your thoughts on that? The fact that she stood her ground, even though it didn't come out the way she thought it was.
Yeah, I think it was a huge shock and a huge surprise to everybody. And I think we're seeing that it was a surprise for her too. It's just like the developers played the whole city. I think it's hard because it's like we don't have the power. So I'm like, what I hope for, coming in new year, Lunar New Year, it's just like, can we start over? Can there be a place where it looks like collaboration with communities, rather than just pitting people against each other, rather than feeling like, okay, you're either with me or against me? Because I'm like, this is a city of over 1 million people. Not everyone can be exactly the same, but we can all go for the same goal, which is like a Philly that's healthy, a Philly that's thriving. So yeah, I mean, it was like the press conference, I don't think communicated that, but we're hopeful. Like, look, can we take some time, hopefully, and find a new way forward?
And then just a tough question to follow up, what if it is what it is as far as what is being shown is how the city is going to be operated for the next three years, in the space of that, like how does AAU plan on staying, in position to continue to be in the front lines of advocacy?
Yeah, and I mean, something we was like, that's what we were founded for, and we're excited to go back to doing more is building up people. I think we had to do it a lot faster in this campaign. So there's a lot where it's like, look, people came out, and I still can't believe just how many thousands of people like marched in the rain, testified, just like talked to their neighbors, organized, created different groups. Like, there was just so much that like we'll be forever grateful for, because I'm just like, I can never still can't believe it, right? I think just so many ways that people literally said, this is the same struggle, and like, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna throw down. And it's like beautiful. And I'm like, okay, great. Now is the time that we can like go deeper in those relationships and like spend the time, doing like deep training and like all this great stuff that we were on the developer's timeline and couldn't do before. So it's like, cool, let's take a breath. And then step back and be like, oh my gosh, like, what are the skills that we didn't get to do yet? What are the ways of thinking? What are the frameworks? What is that internal education that we can all do together? And then like, and use that to like be even stronger stewards of like this movement. Because yeah, I think it's just like I'm so excited to be able to say like, look, everyone who's part of No Arena, let's go. There's something here we're throwing down. We're something here we're throwing down, and also make sure that those folks are like super prepared, right? That they and like we are all like as useful to other fights as folks have like brought into us. Because like it's like what we the best thing is like an excited volunteer, and then the very best thing is someone who's trained, who's ready, who like knows exactly how what it looks like to show up as a good ally.
And Vivian, again, I appreciate you joining us here on 98.5. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. We got about 10 minutes left, and I kind of want to move on for just people to get a better understanding of what AAU is, the events you guys may have coming up, anything that people can stay locked to. But before we do that, can you tell them your social media website, all that good stuff?
Yeah, so on Instagram and Facebook, we are at Asian Americans United. On Twitter, we are at ASAM United. And our website, aaunited.org. I just realized they're all kind of different, but hopefully they have the same spelling.
I
Yeah.
love it. I love it. So Vivian, we're in 2025. We got some good news. Like I said, necessarily didn't get it from the city, but we got good news at the end of the day. What is up with 2025? What can we expect? You guys have any events, anything we need to check in with, lock in with you about? Talk to us.
Yeah, there's a lot of Lunar New Year celebrations coming up at the end of this month. So we're really
What
excited.
day
Like,
is that again? Can you remind me?
Lunar New Year is January 29th.
Okay, the 29th.
Yeah, and in our Chinatown at midnight, that like the 28th midnight, going into it, like there's a huge line dance parade, firecrackers, like it's amazing. So I know it's gonna be freezing. I love inviting folks. It's like it's crazy. I'm always surprised. I'm like, there's so many like little kids running around, and I'm like,
Can
I would be freezing. I would hate that.
you give us like just a little tad bit of background on Lunar New
Yeah,
Year? Like, what is that all about? And tell us a little bit about it.
definitely. Yeah. So in a lot of Asian cultures, they follow the lunar calendar, which just means it's like the kind of the moon. And so it's like a different time cycle. So it changes every year, but this year our Lunar New Year is January 29th. So that's the beginning of the year. And yeah, in Philly Chinatown, it's like there's so many celebrations. It's basically like a huge street party. So there's that midnight parade. And then also on February 2nd, I forget what time, but like in the middle of the day, there's like a big street parade as well. So yeah, you can't come out at midnight, definitely come out on that Sunday. And then yeah, there's a ton of different things like AAU, we're doing like a family celebration on February 8th at the FAC
Awesome.
school. So just inviting people to make lanterns, eat some good food for New Year. So it's really just a time to like come together, to say goodbye to, bad spirits from the old year, welcome in good for the new year. Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Awesome, awesome. And you said that's going down on February 8th?
Yeah, that's our celebration. But then there's a bunch of different ones. Like in Chinatown, there's a street sale celebration on February 2nd. So yeah, it's all great.
Awesome. And I appreciate you, Vivian. Thank you for sharing that information. Any other updates or anything you want to provide before we let you go today?
I was like, I can't think of anything. No, I mean, I think just again, like gratitude for to everyone. I was like, we can't say thank you enough, but to everyone who helped make this happen. Like I know it was like long and tiring, and a lot of times it's like we weren't really sure. I mean, I know I have some people true believers, right? I was like, do you believe me? But we really didn't know what's coming out on the other side of this because so many people have lost their homes in the other fights. But I'm hopeful that like this can be some good light coming into the new year, and also really excited to just take everything that people have poured into us and invest in everyone else the same way.
For sure. And at the end of the day, I want to ask this last question. Do you all as a community, as far as Chinatown, do you all feel like you all have defeated, the oppositions? Have you guys feel like you got a victory?
Yeah, I would say victory, yes. Defeat, never want to assume because,
Okay.
this was like the sixth time that Chinatown has come under threat. So,
Okay.
it was the stadium, the baseball stadium, the casino, everything. So we're always like, yes, and gotta watch out. Keep
All right, Vivian, I appreciate it. One more time, please drop the social media website, all that good stuff before we let you go.
Yes, we are at Asian Americans United, Instagram and Facebook. On Twitter, we are at ASAM United. And our website is www.aaunited.org.
Awesome. I appreciate you, Vivian. I hope you have a great weekend. Again, congratulations on everything. We got it at the end of the day. It is what it is. I'm sending you many blessings in the new year. I want to definitely make it out there on the second. So I'm going to see if I can get together with you in person and, chat with you. But I
Do
appreciate you and all the work that you're doing for the city of Philadelphia. Thank you so much for leading our young folks as well. You have so many young folks looking up to you, and I thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you so much. I look forward to connecting with you more here on 98.5 throughout the year as well. Keep us
Yeah,
updated.
thank you for having me.
No
Thank
doubt. Have a great weekend.
you.
You already know what time.